cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the forest will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tāna, kupu ki a tātou. In the Holy Gospel, according to Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe mititi. The parable of the growing seed. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. And the parable of the mustard seed. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe mititia ia te kupu mana.
Amen. Thanks very much, Ian. Hello. How's it going? It's good to see you all. Yeah, it's good to be back. Actually, would you mind moving that? Thanks. I'm going to roam around like I like to. I'm so out of practice, I forgot to put that microphone on, so I'm using the handheld mic. And that's fun. I feel like a rock star now. Yeah. So thank you so much. Just want to say thank you for all your prayers and concern and thoughts and messages and food that people have dropped off for us. What a blessing that's been. Thank you so much. For those of you who don't know, I've had glandular fever, which is not fun, and I was kind of knocked out for about, I guess it was about 4 weeks, 3.5, 4 weeks with that. About on Wednesday this week, I decided I've had enough. I'm going to start fighting back after about 3.5 weeks of having it. And then on Thursday, Helen, Stephen Smith, and a bunch of others came round to pray for me and anoint me with oil, which was fantastic. And I've just been getting progressively, better and better every day since then. So praise the Lord. And it's good to be back. It's pretty stink, being laid out, isn't it? I'll say something about that in a minute in connection with the parable. But one thing I did want to say is I missed a bunch of things that I really wanted to be part of over this last sort of 4 weeks or so. And one of them was the prayer room, and I was gutted to miss that. But it just, people went for it. You guys just went for it anyway, and it was fantastic. And I heard lots of reports back afterwards of people saying how wonderful it had been and sharing in church the next day, which was Pentecost Sunday, which I missed. I was really gutted to miss that, But, it's just wonderful to hear what God's doing, isn't it? And it's fantastic to hear about the power of prayer. Prayer changes everything. Prayer's the lifeblood of the church because prayer's when we are communing with God at its most sort of pure, if you like. And we can pray anytime and anywhere, as you know. We can pray walking down the street. We can pray in the middle of a conversation with someone. In our spirits, we're praying, you know, kind of with our voices, we're speaking to them and drinking cups of tea or whatever it is. But we're praying in our heart. You know, we can pray anywhere and everywhere, but prayer is what changes everything, because prayer is when we're connecting with God and God's connecting with us and we're doing things and God's doing things through us. So wonderful to hear about how that went. I'm really excited. And just what a blessing to be part of a church that is gently and not making a fuss, loving and caring. You know, and I know that people look out for each other in small ways, and it's often the small things that are biggest blessing. You know, just someone coming around and saying, "I was praying for you," or bringing a little meal around or something like that is such a blessing, isn't it? So bless you guys. Thank you so much for all your thoughts and prayers and care. And for the great prayer and care that goes on unseen in this church. It's fantastic. All right, I'm going to stop congratulating you all and making you all feel awkward and uncomfortable. I can see that kind of like... But anyway, God is good. All the time, God is good. He is amazingly good. In this parable, I just love being part of the kingdom of God. Jesus says, you know, in the second of the two parables here about, these are all seed parables, aren't they? And he says in the second one, you know, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? What can I, what's like it? What can we compare it with? That's echoing those words in the Old Testament where, in Isaiah, you know, where he's saying, you know, who can compare to God? Who's like God? You know, there's no one like God, and there's nothing like God's activity in the world, which is his kingdom, through his people in all sorts of ways. And it's unseen. So much of it is unseen. You stick a seed in the ground, you don't see anything for a good while, do you? I mean, I'm talking from zero experience of gardening, and I know that there are some master gardeners here, you know, but... you know, you stick a seed in the ground. Is that right, Steve? Do you? You don't see anything. I don't see anything ever. But some of you, you don't see anything for a long time, and then something springs up. You know, you don't know how it grows, Jesus says. You don't know how this thing works. You don't need to know. It happens. It just happens by itself, Jesus says. You know, like, it's like, just, I'm not making this thing happen. I just stuck a seed in the ground. You know, and it's growing, and an ear's appearing, you know, and a corn, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's incredible. And that's what the kingdom's like. It's unseen, and then you see something. It could be unseen for a long time, and then you see something. You might never see something, but others do. It's wonderful. Sometimes, Paul picks up on this idea of sowing, doesn't he, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he says, I sowed, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. It's exactly the same as what Jesus is saying here. You know, we sow, but it's God that causes growth. You know, it just appears, Jesus says. You know, we don't know how. God does that bit. We just do the sowing. And it's incredible. That's what the kingdom's like. We're just called to be faithful people who sow the seed, who just get on and do stuff. We can't make growth happen in any way. We can pray for it, we can water it, we can sow it in the first place. Sowing the seed is, you know, as you know, just doing good to people, speaking good into their lives, sharing the love of Christ with them in word and deed. And as we share the love of Christ in word and deed, we trust and we pray, that's like watering, and we trust that God will cause the growth. But we can't make someone grow. We can't make something happen. We can just be faithful. But God does. That's what the miracle of being part of the kingdom is. God causes the growth. You know, and we can't go, hey, I did that. We can't. You know, we can't claim credit for stuff in the kingdom. Because, the credit is God's. We're just doing what we were told to do. And God does amazingly say, well done, good and faithful servant, you know, to us. But the glory goes to him, doesn't it? you know, we're just doing what we're told. We're just sharing the love of God, going about doing good as Jesus went about doing good, as it says in Acts. You know, that's us. And we're sowing those seeds and God's causing the growth. I was thinking about when I was at university in London, I lived in a place called Soho. I don't know if you guys know Soho. It's pretty seedy. Yeah. Okay, there's a little cheesy pun there. Get it? Seedy. Anyway, it's where the red light area is in London, but it's also the advertising capital of Europe, really, that just bit of Soho. There's incredible and filmmaking and special effects and stuff like that, all that kind of thing goes on there. Chinatown's there. So it's not only, you know, red light. There's a lot of other stuff going on there as well. But anyway, that's where our church was, and I lived there in Soho. And there was a woman there who I shared the flat with, a bunch of us flatting together. And she'd been there for about, I think it was over 2 years when I first came to that church. And when I ended up in that flat, she'd been there for maybe, I don't know, three, four or five years. She felt called to the red light area of Soho in London. And she just faithfully sowed the seed. She went around and visited the girls who were working as prostitutes in the red light area, and the women who are running the brothels. So she would visit those people who were like, oh, here's another Christian, you know, they come and go. Like people are keen for a while and they think, oh, let's share the gospel with some prostitutes, you know, kind of thing. And then they'd sort of disappear. So these guys had had experience of Christians coming and going, and you know, they get to know them and then they disappear. Heidi just stayed there and she was faithful. She'd been doing this for, like I say, over 2 years, I think it was, when I first got to know her. And she'd seen nothing. She'd just been sowing the seed, no growth, hadn't seen anything, but she just carried on. When I started flatting in the same flat, she was in the flat I was in, like I say, that was coming on 4 or 5 years she'd been there, still nothing. And she just was faithful. She said, I know God's called me to this, and I'm not giving up. And she would pray like crazy for these girls, for these women. And she would faithfully visit them. She would take them baking. She would share the good news of Christ with them. And she'd just talk about the love of God and how much God loved them and cared for them. And slowly, slowly, over the years and years, this wasn't months, it was years and years and years, these people thought, this crazy Christian woman, maybe she's not so crazy. She's not going away. She seems to mean what she's saying, because there's no trust there. You know, to build up the trust with people who are in, you know, one of the worst situations, just, you know, it takes a long, long time. These people were so badly treated. So she slowly built up trust, years and years of sowing and sowing, just being faithful, doing what she was told by God, seeing nothing. She kept going. After 7 years, she's still going. I'm like, what is this? You know? 8 years, she's still going. 9 years, seeing nothing. And I think it was around 10 years into this faithful ministry. One night, one of the girls who worked in the red light area in Soho had a dream. Or they had a kind of dream. I think it was more of a vision than a dream. But she woke up in the night and Jesus was standing at the foot of her bed. And from that moment onwards, it took a little while, but her life changed. And she became a Christian. Years and years later, we were visiting the UK after we'd moved here and we moved back again. This woman is now running a church in London. And, she's just like completely transformed. Her whole life turned around. It's absolutely incredible. And she is having a wonderful, you know, influence on all sorts of people. And that's the kingdom of God. You and I, we just get on and do what we're told. We'll be faithful. We sow, we water, we pray, we share the good news. Sometimes we see the growth, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't see it for years and years. Sometimes we don't ever see it, and someone else will see it, you know? But sometimes we do get to see it years later, and it's wonderful being part of the kingdom, which is starts off so small. It's just one woman, Heidi, faithfully visiting people and doing some baking for them. You know, year in, year out, day in, day out, month in, month out, just on and on and on. And then one day this thing grows. And after that, more and more things started happening. But it took a long time. And now you could say, as in the second of our two parables, you know, what was just a tiny little mustard seed, a small little thing one woman was doing, has flourished into this great tree or this great shrub, you know, the mustard seed and the mustard tree. And all these birds are now nesting in its branches, and it's providing a home to all sorts of people, you know, as this thing snowballed, you know. And now this woman is leading a church in London, and all sorts of people are being blessed, and, you know, that blessing carries on from those people, and so on and so forth. Does that make sense? So be encouraged. I just want to say, be encouraged this morning. As we sow seeds faithfully, as we water it with prayer, God causes the growth. It's not something we can do, but he does. He causes the growth. Is that all right? Sound good? The sort of last bit to that, as it were, is this. When Jesus says those words, the man, you know, the farmer, he sows the seed, and then he lies down and he gets up, you know? He lies down each night, gets up each day, and God causes the growth, you know, meanwhile, without him knowing how. You know how he says that in the parable? Well, that word get up is the same word for arise or risen. And it's the word that again and again is used in the Gospels to talk about Jesus rising from the dead, getting up from the dead. It's like, you know, he goes to sleep and then his grave clothes are there, and then he gets up, he's risen. And when the angels say, you know, they come looking for him, and the angels say, he's not here, he is risen. That's the word, that's the same word. You know, the man goes to sleep and he gets up, he rises, all right? And in the same way, the seed is put into the ground and then it gets up, it rises, you know? And Jesus in another parable talks about, you know, that the seed goes in the ground and dies and then it rises, you know, it comes up. That is part of this whole kingdom of God thing. The whole thing of us, you know, we need to, we die daily, don't we? Jesus says, take up your cross daily. Just keep going about doing the faithful thing. Keep giving yourself up, giving yourself away for others. Keep dying to your own thoughts and self and needs and all of that, and putting yourself out there for others. And as we do that, as we die to ourselves and give ourselves away for others, the kingdom of God is enabled to come. And that growth starts to happen. It's all the growth that comes from ultimately Jesus dying and giving himself up for others, for us, for you and me, and rising from the dead. And in the same way, we go into, you know, we go to sleep and we get up. We die and we rise again. Every night we kind of rise again in the morning and we go, right, I'm putting, you know, all of that stuff behind me and I'm going forwards with Jesus. I'm dying and rising with Christ. And I'm going to faithfully sow again today. I'm going to give myself away for others so that God's kingdom can come. And it's that dying and rising that is part of Christ's dying and rising that is the kingdom. That's where the growth comes from. It comes from Christ, from his resurrection, and us being hooked into that and being part of that and being part of that same activity that Christ is part of laying down our lives with him and in him, and rising again with him and in him. You and I have the resurrection life of Christ in us. And we get up, and we rise each day, and we give ourselves away in small acts like a mustard seed that God causes growth from, because that's how God does stuff. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that as you died and rose again, you call us to live with you. You call us to give ourselves away, to die and to live with you, Lord. And we thank you that as we do that, Jesus, you are bringing in your kingdom. You are causing the growth. And we thank you for your great love, for your resurrection power, for your life which lives in us. Lord, that we live in you and you live in us. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would be bringing your kingdom in and through us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the growth that we see. We thank you for the good things, the life that we see you bringing into people around us. And we pray that we would see that more and more. But we thank you that it's yours, Jesus. It's your life. It's your growth. And we thank you that you make us part of it, that you call us to be part of it, and you involve us in that resurrection activity, that dying and rising, and that bringing your life into this world. In your name. Amen. Amen.